You're listening to 90.1 FM KKFI Kansas City Community Radio.
It's Monday morning. My name is Keith Brownhill. Welcome to Jaws of Justice Radio. Today, host Melvin Merritt will talk with Miss E. LaTantra Kanandi Smith and Natasha Sears of GYRL about their personal stories, the efforts to open a dialogue between the abuser and the abused, and breaking down the taboo of discussing what happens behind closed doors. Have your pen and paper ready for our calendar of events in the middle of the show. And as always, the 420 drug war news at the end of the show. Now, let's hear from Melvin and his guests.
Good morning. Welcome to a live edition of Jaws of Justice. I'm your host, Melvin Merritt. In the studio with me this morning is Miss Ellerton, better known as Miss E, the power broker. And along with her is Miss LaTara Smith. And she is our guest, and we are here to talk about domestic violence. October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. This subject matter hits me close because my own mother was a victim of domestic violence. However, I don't think it was labeled that title back then. Nevertheless, you can get involved in the second half of the broadcast when we open up the line. But at this time, I'm going to thank my guests for coming out and being my guest this morning. Welcome to Jaws of Justice.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Glad to have you. As I mentioned earlier, that we're going to be talking about domestic violence, and we know that there's so many things that have been going on and with domestic violence, and we talked about this earlier, Missy, especially with the football celebrities, that's been involved with hitting their wives and beating up on their wife. But I want to say this: domestic violence can be defined as a pattern of abusive behavior in any relationship that is used by one partner to gain or maintain power and control over another intimate partner. Domestic violence can be physical, sexual, emotional, economical, or psychological actions or threats of action that influence another person. This includes any behavior that intimidates, humiliates, isolates, frightens, terrorizes, coerces, threatens, blames, hurts, injury, or wound someone. As I mentioned, that October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. In November, it is elimination of domestic violence. And we're going to get into those subject matters as it relate to physical, sexual, and economical with my guests. And I guess I could start with Miss E, better known as the power broker. Could you shed a little light on this? And I want you to be reminded that on the second half of this broadcast, you can be a part of this broadcast by calling in, and if you can relate to the subject matter.
Okay. First of all, I would like to say good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And I would like to have an open dialogue if we could, because when we go off the definition of what Webster says domestic violence is, we really don't relate. Do you agree?
Mm-hmm.
And so I would like to say those things are what domestic violence is, mm-hmm. but domestic violence also involves a non-relationship types of relations. You know, it could be your neighbor, anybody that you have in a relationship with. Could be considered domestic violence. So when we look at that aspect, we all have some type of domestic violence issue somewhere in our life we will face.
Right. Could you maybe possibly, and I'm talking and directing my questions to Ms. LaTara Smith,
mm-hmm.
and could you shed a little light on this subject matter?
Sure. Domestic violence can be involved with more than just a person that's in a relationship. It can actually, you know, be within the homestead, brothers to sisters, sisters to brothers, because women also can be the
abusive
aggressors. Right. Domestic violence doesn't just go one way from male to female. It can also go from female to male. And it can also, you know, I think some people really feel that domestic violence starts over in like an adult, you know, in your adult years, but that's not true. Domestic violence is actually going on within teenagers. I know I was a victim of domestic violence in high school with my high school boyfriend, and thinking that things are going to get better like most women do. It didn't. And it carried on out, you know, into our marriage. We ended up getting married, and the abuse did not stop until I made the choice to stop it. And that was just to get out of the relationship.
As you was mentioning about in younger years, and I was thinking about, could it have started some with maybe brothers and sisters? Because I understand sometimes that the brother can abuse the sister, vice versa. And so what are your thoughts about that?
It can. It most definitely can happen. It can also go from sister to brother. I've seen it. You know, I've lived that out in my family where, you know, one sibling abused another. But that in our situation, in our family's case, that took place because we witnessed it. So it was more so a learned behavior as to how to deal with your anger, your rage, you know, your problems. So, yeah, most definitely so.
But we have to be very careful when we talk about siblings, because it is natural for siblings to argue and to fight. So we don't want to say every time someone hits someone, you know, your sibling, that's a domestic violence act.
Correct.
You know, so
correct.
we have to make sure that we get that, you know, understood, because kids now are getting kicked out of school for sexual acts of, you know, a little boy touching a little girl. You know, so we have to be very clear that we don't make everybody, put everyone into that category.
And I wouldn't want anyone to think that that's what we are trying to say. It's just that I was wondering, by putting that out there, could it start there, or is that something that we're, that it begins?
I think once it passes the curiosity stage, because it is normal, it's not a... You hate to say the word normal, but kids explore. So it's normal for a little boy and his sister to explore each other. But when it becomes abusive, a force, an act that is unwanted, then it becomes molestation, abuse. You know, that goes into that ramification of that.
Right.
So we have to make sure that we understand, and we see Johnny touching his sister, that he's not a sexual pervert. Because, you know, we start hearing things like right now we're talking about domestic violence in the urban core, where we don't normally talk about it. So we don't want to get people excited to think everything is going to be targeted.
Right.
You know, education and prevention is the best key.
And you mentioned our urban core. And I know that a lot of this stuff is operating in the rural area of our cities.
And the reason why I said, Melvin, the urban core is because we get fixated on trying to fix everything outside of our home. So we're trying to break the silence that's coming from the, they call it the urban core, we call it the ghetto. We're trying to break that right there. We're not trying to say we're going out into the fields, because right now we have an immediate desire in our own to fix our own.
Correct. You know, as I was alluding to the fact that, you know, with the physical abuse, the sexual abuse, and with the physical abuse, I wrote down hitting, slapping, shoving, grabbing, pinching or biting, and pulling hair. Is that a start of something that when young men or vice versa is pulling on a girl's hair in a anger, or, you know, in that type of a way? Shed some light on if you are familiar with
we're
that.
We're going to give two examples. I think you'll give your example, then I'll give my example.
Okay. That is, you know, of course, you know, a form of domestic violence, which you just described. But there's also other forms of domestic violence that I think people should also be aware of. It can be the emotional abuse that comes, the name calling and things as such, you know, that goes on. And I don't, you know, and usually that escalates into physical, you know, violence. If it starts off like that, where, you know, the person is name calling, being very disrespectful, not to say that all name calling will lead to domestic violence, but just in my experience, that is how the, you know, the arguments would lead into the, you know, the physical realm of the domestic violence. So
you mentioned your own personal experience. Could you relate to anything like hitting? Well, of course, that's part of it. But what about slapping, shelving, grabbing, or pinching, you know. And mm-hmm. I know that that's not the full, you know, picture of domestic violence, but I was just wondering, did you relate to any of those areas?
Right. And it does. I can. I remember when I first began to experience domestic violence with this particular individual, it was a pinch on my arm, you know, because he thought I was looking at someone else. So it was a pinch where no one else could see, but the message was clearly sent to me, don't look. Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
And then from there, it became a push, a shove, a hit, mm-hmm. a slap, you know, just full-fledged fighting, spitting in the face. All of that, you know, it escalates. If it started with a pinch, but ladies and men, I want you to know, it will escalate.
Escalate, that's
most
true.
Definitely so.
You wanted to.
Yeah, you had said something about how does it start. I think it starts to see how far your limitations are. You know, it starts with a playful push, and then they see that they can push you a little bit more. So it starts acting like it's playful, and then it gets out of hand. That's why I always tell girls, and keep your hands to yourself. Mm-hmm. Because he doesn't just come punch you in your face. You know, it may be just a love tap, as they used to call it, but it does escalate.
That's true. Now, if we can kind of turn the corner a little bit and let's talk about sexual abuse. And this is one that is pretty prevalent in our society.
Mm-hmm. It is.
And so coercing and tempting to coerce in sex contact. How can you relate to that, and especially starting with you, Miss Latria?
I can relate to that. I think it's very important that we teach our children, you know, the signs, the things to look for, because as a child, I didn't know, you know, the things to look for. But it most definitely, you know, happens. It can be something as simple. I mean, is that what you wanted me to elaborate on, what it could be?
Yeah, I'm just saying from your own personal experience, what was any of those things?
Okay. I've never, per se, been a victim of,
sexual.
I would say, full-fledged sexual abuse. But I can recall sitting in a relative's lap and being fondled, and as a little girl, 5 years old, not understanding, you know, what is he doing? Mm-hmm. But I knew enough that it was uncomfortable, and I needed to get up and move and go tell my dad.
Mm-hmm.
But my sisters were most definitely part of some molestation from that family member.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it most definitely happens.
I want to say this, and this is out of no disrespect, but when we're talking about victims of sexual abuse, very few people are going to sit here on the air and tell you exactly what has taken place, because this is why the silence is there. And so, you know, it sounds like, you know, it sounds, when people hear it, it's glamorized. But these are issues that people have faced and live with daily on a day-to-day basis. And so that's why we call breaking the silence. We have to have a safe place that they mm-hmm. feel. Usually when women come on the air, they have been through some type of therapy mm-hmm. and some type of facing their self. But we want to talk about what we can look at right now and say, what is sexual abuse and how does it affect the family, from the mother to the daughters and to those around? We can look at the case of Honey Boo Boo. Her mother started dating a guy that sexually abused her daughter. So let's talk about, this is the ramification that they have. The daughter now is faced seeing her mother with the person that molested her, raped her, and spent 12 years in jail, and now she brought him back into the unity of the family. So we talk about that. We're talking about healing.
I imagine that's devastating to that child.
It's devastating to anybody that's had, not just women, but boys, anybody has been had forced upon them.
Mm-hmm.
And their will taken away.
Mm-hmm.
It transforms the way that they are today. And so that's why I'm such a big advocate of domestic violence and the before and after. And, you know, people want to hear a story, but that story is their life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that they deal with when they close their eyes and close that door. They are still dealing with the fact that someone that was supposed to love them misused them and took away their innocence. So that's why we have to start the healing in the Black community, because we don't talk about it. We was raised, whatever happened inside that home stayed inside that home. So now we're saying, if it's happened in that home, go on that porch. We had two murders this week that they can tie into domestic violence. We need to talk about the effects that it has by not having a prevention program that's here.
So You know what I was sitting there thinking about, and you mentioned about the little what's her name, Little Boo Boo,
mm-hmm, Honey Boo Boo,
and so. But I wanted to remind our listening audience that they can weigh in on this topic on the second half of this broadcast if they can relate to it in some kind of way, and possibly from their own experiences. And then they can, you know, weigh in on it.
Mm-hmm. And then that's therapy for them. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what our forums are about. Our forums are where people come out and they tell their story, because it's their time to relay their story. It's not us forcing them to tell their story or their complete story. Another one, we talk about the abuse that happens in the church. And we wonder why so many people are going away from the church. You know, they had an instance of a famous gospel singer, James Fortune.
Mm-hmm.
He abused his four-year-old stepson years ago by putting him in scalding water. That's domestic abuse.
Sure it is.
He was charged last week with another assault, and everybody's sweeping this away. The ministers are not talking about it. In the black community, I cannot name one pastor or minister that is talking about domestic violence. So when we talk about it, we need to just open it up and say, why aren't we talking about it?
Right.
Why aren't we doing more about it? You know, because abuse happens a lot in the church, and nobody's talking about it.
And you turned the corner, Missy, especially shedding some light on the church community as it relates to domestic abuse. And that is true, you know, because we want to think that, you know, this is not happening in God's church, so to speak. And plus it brings a cloud on the church if they address it. So I think that even opening up the lines on the second half of this broadcast, someone maybe possibly can identify with what you just brought in as it relates to the churches and abuses in the churches.
If they went through the aisles, they would find 10 women. And out of 10 women, they would find 9 of them that has been abused in some form. They would find it either been economically, they would find it, which is financially, they would find that it's been socialism, and they would find that majority of them have been sexually abused by someone that they trusted that perhaps went to that church.
Right.
So we need to talk about that. We need to have an open dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
And the pastors, who were they pastoring to?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the 2 young kids that got killed. Nobody's upset about that. That's abuse.
Yeah, right.
You know, but nobody's talking about that, you know, because it's not making money. If it's not making money, it's not making sense.
But you're talking about it. That's the good
I'm
thing.
I'm talking about it.
He is going to talk about it.
And I'm not well-liked. I'm not well-liked for talking about it, but
right.
It is what it is. I mean, when we talk about violence, we're talking about across the table. We're not just talking about somebody going and going to bed with somebody. We're talking about the whole ramification. Right now, we're talking about the domestic violence doing with our education. 26 of our schools closed. What happens to those young girls? It has no economic sound basis, you know, financially. If you can't grow economically, you know, academically, they're going to be in some type of domestic violence situation.
Sure.
That's right.
You know, I did a little homework last night, especially looking in on the statistics of the national statistic, and it says 1 in 4 women, which is 25%, has experienced domestic violence in her lifetime. And that's pretty heavy.
But that's really heavy, because those statistics are not taken with people that really are giving them numbers.
Right.
So we're talking about women and men that's on the streets. They're not stopping them and asking
right.
them.
Right.
But I think that they're saying overall. See, I know what you're doing. No, you know, statistics and when they taking surveys and stuff, they don't take the survey of everyone. Let's say, for instance, they take a cross section.
When is the last time they included you, Melvin, in the survey?
I don't know, but it should have.
Well, that's the same way. I've never been included in the survey. So when they give those statistics, we give real life statistics. That's why I invited you to come to our forums, because that was the way we take our statistics.
Mm-hmm.
When we have a room full of women and men, and that we ask how many have been affected, and you raise your hand, that's our statistics. You know, I mean, because it goes outside that norm. It is people, like I told you, that never thought that they was in a domestic violence because they never got slapped, pinched, or kicked, but they grew up watching their mother or their father being abusive.
Right.
So you was in a domestic violence situation.
Right.
You know, if anybody has not heard Miss E, the power broker, they are now being introduced to Miss E, the power broker.
I told you I don't have that many friends. 5 Facebook friends. That's it. But that means you must be doing something to rattle nerves, you know?
Right.
You have to do something to make people remember you, you know?
That's right.
For
that's
whatever reason it
so
is.
True.
It's just called keeping it real. That's what it is.
And it hurts. I mean, because this right here, when we do this, it hurts. It really, really hurts because you see people that's been living with this stigma for years, a lifetime.
You know, we have about 4 more minutes before we take a break. And remember that you're listening to this broadcast on Jaws of Justice, KKFI 90.1 on your dial. And we want to turn the corner from sexual abuse to economic abuse. And so if you can shed some light on that, shed some light on economical abuse, and that's pretty prevalent as well, along with this domestic violence.
Well, there's different levels of that, mm-hmm. you know, because and where we're at, most of the mothers work, you know, or have to work, mm-hmm. so they're not in that situation where someone's taking care of them. But it is a situation that perhaps that you're living in a situation, and that person demands your paycheck or your EBT card, you know, and they keep you locked in. I always tell people whoever controls that purse controls that household.
That's right. That's mm-hmm. true.
And that's what happens with lack of education.
That's true. And you know, doing my homework last night, and I was looking at making an attempt to make an individual financially dependent by maintaining total control over them, forbidding one's attendance at school or employment so they don't allow the individual to go to work. Or, you know, even possibly going to school. That's so true.
Yeah. I've seen it.
Go to work and you get a phone call, arguing on the phone at work,
right.
or showing up at your job, you know, to argue mm-hmm. with
yes.
you. I mean, it happens in so many ways, you know, so that is absolutely correct.
Right.
You did good on your homework, Melvin.
Yeah, I knew that I had to equip myself because I was going to have Miss E, the power broker, as my guest this morning. So.
Can I say something real, real quick?
Sure.
I want to thank the staff at KKFI uh-huh. because we're talking about it here and you guys mm-hmm. are opening up the ways for people to
right.
hear it real. Mm-hmm. So I want to thank you, you know, for having us here and talking about it and, you know, and letting people just make their own decisions and just awareness.
Yeah. Well, you know automatically that you have a welcome act here at...
I seen it out there.
You seen it outside. did you see your name written there?
In the parking lot. I'm not going to say what it was written with, but
okay.
it was out there.
Could you relate to anything like this that I mentioned about the economic pressure?
Of course, I've seen it happen. Mm-hmm. As Missy was saying, you know, she does her, you know, we do our own statistics. We mm-hmm. ask and almost every hand in the room will come up.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell you, even traveling, because I go into the prisons within the Oklahoma Department of Corrections and I teach life skill and reentry classes. If I have 10 women in my classes, 9 of them will raise mm-hmm. their hand that they have fallen prey to one of those forms of domestic violence. So it most definitely does exist, and it goes on. And I think a lot of women don't understand that, you know, even that form, as she was giving the example, you go to work, you get these calls, you know, they don't want you to go to work, different things. I don't think they understand that that is a form of domestic violence, but
True.
It is.
True. Now, you know, with that economical pressure or control of an individual, is there other areas financially that a person can really stifle you in terms of holding back money and controlling you, say, for instance, buying you clothes and, you know, just various areas of your own personal life? If you had the freedom, you wouldn't have that freedom to go to the mall, so to speak, and purchase you something without going through that person.
I've never had it happen.
I've seen it happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have counseled some women that actually has happened too, where they literally could not make a move unless their mate mm-hmm. gave them permission to make it, the finances to make it, and that's all a thing to keep them in. You know, to keep them under their control.
Okay, I want to think we're going to turn the corner a little bit and make some announcements, and we will be back in a few minutes.
Sure.
Yes, if you just now tuning in to KKFI 90.1, we're talking about domestic violence, and because this is November, well, we can talk about it all year. However, this month is Domestic Violence Month, and so we want to shed a little light on it. And so in the studio with me this morning, and I'm your host, Melvin Merritt, and in the studio with me is Miss Ellerton. And she is better known as the power broker, Miss E. And with her is Miss Latera. And they are shedding some light. And what we're going to do, because we had a call that came in, and they wanted to know or get some advice or tactics on how to defuse a violent incident as it is happening. So that's my questions to one of you, and if you can kind of shed some light on for this caller.
In my personal experience, in the heat of the moment when all of that is going on, what I had found to be very helpful was just to get quiet, not to be argumentative, but to be quiet, not giving that person a reason to escalate, their behavior to where it became more violent. In situations where I was actually physically being hit or punched or kicked at the time, I can think back how I would just shield myself for protection. And, some may not agree with this, but sometimes I just didn't fight back because that would escalate, my then husband to the next level. And the beating would then become worse because it's like, oh, girl, you finna hit me? You're going to hit me back? Bow, And then it became, it's more of a, I'm going to overpower you situation. So if I had showed any form of power there, he was going to overpower me, which made the beating worse.
And that's good advice, because even if, let's say, for instance, you're out in the forest, and this might not be a good analogy, but if an animal was coming at you a lot of times, and especially like a bear, and if you just laid still, and that bear wouldn't be so aggressive, and somebody would call in and maybe comment on that. But remember that we're going to be opening up the phone lines, and that you can be a part of this topic. And so feel free. And I'm going to give you the number right now is 816-931-5534. So you can weigh in on this topic, and it's a very interesting subject matter. What are your thoughts about this, Ms. E?
About how to defuse the situation?
How to defuse a situation that's going on at the moment. And she made a good point.
She made an excellent point.
Excellent.
Because that's why she's a GYRL.
Okay. So
to defuse the situation, it takes two to argue.
Mm-hmm.
It takes one to actually kill another one like that. Mm-hmm. But in that sense, I would agree that you don't argue. You you can't fight back. But what you can do is have a plan in place.
Mm-hmm.
The next step to do, after this right here, after the beating, if you survive it. See, every time a person hits you, it's an opportunity for you to lose your life. So we have to keep that in mind.
Right.
So it's hard to tell a woman to stand there and take it when it may be an opportunity that she may not be here again. So I think that is something that needs to be discussed on a personal level.
Mm-hmm.
Because
right.
It's easy to say, take a lick and lay there and take it. But if you see some of the effects of that, some of the women, when they get in their 30s and 40s and 50s and have already been through physical abuse, it's like being on a football player, getting hit upside the head and getting concussions. That same thing happens to these women.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And then as they get older, they start having memory loss. They start having conflict with their bodies. Because your body goes into shock like an automobile
That's
accident.
Right.
You get hit, your body protects you. But then as soon as you ease up, it's going to release it.
That's
so
right.
So we have to think of other ways other than saying, take it. We have to think of ways not to get you in that situation in the first place.
Right, in the first place.
Because
right.
I think you go on to survival. Because if I'm in that, I'm going to protect myself.
Okay, we have a caller coming in, and he wants she wants to weigh in on this topic. Caller, you're on air.
Yes, I'd like to make a comment. Now, this is not necessarily about a man threatening or to kill or stab or beat up a woman, but this is my ex pulled a butcher knife on me one night, and it was not because I'm a punk or a sissy, but because I knew if I stood up to fight her, it would have been real, real ugly. And I said, if it's God's will, you'll stab me. And I said, if it's not, you won't. And she took her fist and pressed it all up in my upper eyebrow. And that was it. And that's how I defused that fight, because I didn't want no police coming into my house and telling me to get out.
Mm. You did the right thing. You know, the only sad thing that you did was you picked that individual, but you didn't make her your ex.
But she, but he also shined a light on the opposite,
mm-hmm.
because generally we relate that to a woman.
A woman, right.
So now he shed some light on the fact that he was in an abusive situation at that time, and he's a man.
We never denied that men don't get abused.
Right, I know.
You know, we never denied that because we said, what is domestic violence? It's mm-hmm. anybody that's overpowering someone.
Mm-hmm.
So we never gave it a face. We just identified with women because we're women.
Right.
You know, and so many times I find that even in our group, women will be first to rescue a man, and they are the ones that need to be saved yourself. So I tell women to find out who you are before you try to save someone else.
Remember, if you're just now tuning in, you're tuned in to KKFI 90.1 FM, and I'm the host, Melvin Merritt, and I encourage you to call in and weigh in on this subject matter.
Another point I'd like to make also. Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Yes, some women, I was molested when I was a child also by self. And she molested me and seduced me and, you know, some things took place. And a lot of women, and then she was having relations with younger teenage males on the block. And my dad, he did beat her up a lot of time. But sometimes, I ain't saying it's justified for a man to beat a woman, but people got to look at both sides. And sometimes little girls molest little girls. And sometimes little girls, older little girls molest little boys. So really, it's really both of them, both sexes are guilty of molesting. And it's not just women all the time being the victim.
Correct.
But how did it affect you being molested?
Excuse me?
How did it affect you?
You mean now that I'm an adult?
Yes.
Well, it just kind of made me feel like I was guilty, a lot right. of guilt. This happened when I was between 9 and 10 years old. Actually, it really started around 4 or 5. And I didn't know what was going on, but as I got a little bit older, the molestation took place. And it made me feel guilty. And as I got older, it made me to always see both sides of the coin. When I would always hear about a guy molesting a female and stuff like that, I always kind of kept in a secret, man, if people only knew that older girls, I was molested by older older girl hit me in my stomach one time because I was going to tell on her because she went in the refrigerator and stole something. I was going to tell my sister. Girls and females can be just as diabolical and dangerous as males can to females.
True, true. Could you give us your name, if you don't mind, just your first name and what part of town are you from?
Nah, I can't do that. I should have too much information.
Okay. All right. Thank you, caller, for calling in. And remember that if you're listening to this broadcast and you want to weigh in on this subject matter, we're talking about domestic violence. And I'm reminding everyone that this is Domestic Violence Month in October. And you can call at 816-931-5534. And he made some good points about starting off as a child, and a lot of this abusive behavior begins. And like he shot one thing in that raised my eyebrows. With girls molesting girls at an early age, what are your thoughts about that?
Once again, we don't know if they call it exploring,
mm-hmm.
Because molestation is something that they started throwing out there. So you have to know the difference between children exploring and molesting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, molesting is usually something usually happened. And what I found was interesting about this caller was he didn't want to identify himself. And that's what we was talking about earlier. It is a stigmatism behind this act, you know. But I believe that's why he picks the type of individual women that he picks.
Right.
Because of the situation that happened. Right.
And I want to add, too, I heard something he said, and I'm coming from kind of a legal standpoint. Mm-hmm. Though he encountered that, you know, situation with the young lady pulling the knife on him, and he said, didn't he say he didn't want to call the police?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times people don't.
That was only because that he didn't want to be put out and generally.
You know, as being weak or whatever.
Right.
But let me tell you, and I have seen this happen as a legal assistant, I've seen this happen in courts, and it works both ways, from men to women or women to men. When you don't report that type of situation, and then later on it escalates and it's looking like you're just the aggressor, you're going to be the one generally to get in trouble about it. And you can't come back and say, well, she's done this to me before, or she pulled a knife on me 2 weeks ago. They're not going to look at that. But if you have those things in black and white documented, then they're going to come back. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Sure.
Come back and say, okay, well, he didn't just fight her. He didn't just abuse her or beat her up. It could have been where he was protecting himself, because we have a history of all of these, you know, reported calls that said he had this type of problem with her before.
So you're saying, that you're encouraging an individual that's in something like this that they should call and document something.
They should call. There's a lot of women sitting in prison for killing their spouse. And they were actually a victim of domestic violence, but because they didn't report it, when they did kill him, it just looked as if they, you know,
like
just,
murdered the person.
They just murdered him. But actually, if you go back in their history, there was a pattern of domestic violence. So.
Yeah, I just want to throw out some information in case anyone might be interested in some resources. Sarita Lynn Ministries, the Princess House. And you can contact them at 816-561-0035 if you're interested. And I give that number again, 816-561-0035. And the caller was an interesting caller because he shared a lot of experiences that he
different
has
had. Different areas, right?
And I'm just wondering, did it play a real strong force in terms of his own psychic, his own spiritual growth? What are your thoughts about that, Miss Eva?
There's no way it couldn't have, because he's still talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, things that we choose to forget, we don't talk about. Mm-hmm. So it's still playing a role in the women that he's presently seeing. Because one thing I want to say, if somebody pulls something out on you, you don't have a chance to think, are they playing? Because you don't pull
right.
a weapon without ready to use it.
Right.
So if someone's pulling a weapon on you, they're ready to use it. But then we have to think about the art of war. You know, once you go through traumatic experiences and you've seen the effect of it, some people are paralyzed. You know, they can't make that move.
Yeah, I understand why that he wouldn't give his name. And as I alluded to in the earlier part of the program, is that my mother was a victim of domestic abuse. So I called my mother and asked her would she would like to be a guest, and she lives in California. And she said, oh, no.
Yeah.
You know, so I understand it, because, you know, it opens up wounds, and some people are just not ready to talk about it, especially what was happening back then.
Right.
You have to think, you especially, I think the most traumatic experiences is as a child. Mm-hmm. When a child sees their mother getting beat, and they mm-hmm. can't do anything about it, especially a little boy. And he's the protector of his mom.
Right.
And he sees his mom getting beat. And I had I ran into a young lady, well, she's not really that young, but the other day she told me, she says, you know, I'm a victim of domestic violence. She says, I get beat so bad that, and so often that I tell my kids, I take him in another room because he's threatened to kill me, and I don't want my kids to see me killed, you know, dead.
Right.
And I'm thinking to myself, I said, your kids are seeing you walking dead.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're seeing you
That's
walking
true.
Dead. But she's, every day she's geared him, and I think this is why GYRL is moving into the mental health part of this.
Mm-hmm.
Because it has to be a mental health issue connected to domestic violence.
Almost definitely.
Yeah.
I just want to give the number again. Remember, you're in tune to KKFI 90.1 FM on your dial. And the number is 816-931-5534. You can weigh in on this subject matter, and we're talking about domestic abuse. And if you can identify with anything that you may have heard, or just that you just tune in, and but you have something to say about this, you're welcome to call in and weigh in on this. What are your other thoughts about some of the things that are going on in terms of your own community as it relate to domestic violence?
I want to say this. Just because people aren't calling in, don't think they're not listening. Because about domestic violence, we don't want anyone to know that we're interested in this topic.
We have a caller online. Caller, you on air.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Oh, pretty good. How are you doing? Your name?
I'm doing fine. Well, my name is Reverend Lomax.
Okay, Reverend Lomax.
Okay. Well, the comment that I'd like to make was, first off, there was a comment that one of the young ladies made about the gentleman who called about the woman pulling a knife on him, and she's consistently said of the type of women that he's picked. It's a little difficult to know what type of woman you pick, because as you go through a relationship, everything is peaches and cream, and all of a sudden the veil is lifted, and now you see the demon on the other side, and you don't know how you struck that up. So it's very difficult, very difficult. I've been with women that had been molested. I've lived through my mother being beat, so I understand that. But again, I have to say, there's absolutely no way you're going to know what type of woman this is going to be when you meet her, when you guys go out to dinner, when you go to the movies, and everything is all fine and dandy. So that's one of the things that's very difficult to say. So that's one of the biggest comments I had to make based on that.
Hold on, sir. I think Miss E has a comment.
Yeah, I totally disagree with that. Because if we are picking the same type of individuals, then we know what we're picking. It doesn't matter if you're going to dinner, going to lunch, or just talking on the phone. We know what type of individuals that we seek. And so if a man is picking that same type of woman, he needs to check himself.
Right. And so what are your thoughts about that, sir?
Well, again, I disagree with what she's saying, because, again, it's absolutely impossible in some situations to know who you're picking. You go to church. Now, everybody says, wow, go pick you a woman from church. And we all know how that turns out in some cases. I'm not going to say everything's 100% because it's not. But I will say, again, I picked women, and it is impossible to know what type of woman this is.
Right.
You'll have a stalker. You don't know what it is, and all of a sudden, you're backed into a wall, not knowing what's going on.
I would just suggest that maybe you should pray over the type of women that you intend to meet.
Okay.
Well, it's not about me meeting women. It was about the gentleman.
Yeah.
I have met somebody that's good. I follow those, and like I said, I'm a reverend, but I follow the scriptures to a T.
All right. Thank you, caller.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling in. We have another caller, I believe, on the line.
Yes.
Hi. Give us your name.
I'm Marie, and I live in Lawrence right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in my mid-60s, and I've had an abusive marriage. My father was abusive. My, brother and my brother-in-law were both in abusive relationships with abusive women. And now I have four children that I'm taking care of who come from a violent background. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear
okay.
you.
And I just, over the years, it seems to me that we're not really teaching people to have enough caring about themselves and other people, that they don't, we're not teaching people to be kind, I guess, to put other people first. I used to think it was a man-woman thing, but it's not.
Caller, are you involved in any type of program or have you started anything to shed some light on your own personal experience?
Oh, I've gone to counseling over time. I used to just think I had an anger issue, but it's more than that. And it's, you know, I just, you know, my with my kids that I have now, I just, I see the potential of bullying within their sibling group. And that's, and I think it's because of that's what they see. That's what they grew up seeing, like you grew up seeing your mother abused, and we've all seen people be abused, and we don't. Why? You know, we have to be kind to one another. Where's the lack of kindness that we teach our children?
Right. I just want to give another number out to anyone that might be interested in getting some resources. As another one is Rose Brooks. The number is 816-861-6100. So, and the other number is Friends of Yates. And that's at 913-321-1566. And how is the children are doing, the ones that you said that you are involved with now?
How are they?
Yeah.
I think that they're all very brave and willing to, but they have a lot to unlearn. I mean, their mother, their parents were violent toward one another. Their mother was sexually abused for years as a child. Their grandmother was. Their, you know, I mean, it was a, it's a whole nasty little snake's nest of meanness and lack of self-love. To me, I've decided, you know, if you can't, if you really love yourself, are you really going to hurt other people?
So it's going to take a lot of reprogramming when you come out of something as drastic and is so heart-rendering for an individual, especially when a child is, has experienced something like that. So is that what you're saying?
Yeah, but I guess what I'm looking for your guests to oh my goodness, what a huge job they have. Okay, they're already talking to people who have been or are in abusive relationships.
Well, let me
add
something.
But what about our children that are, we need to
our guest wants to comment on that.
Good.
Okay, really? But, go ahead, Melvin. I'm sorry.
Well, caller, I want to first thank you, and I want to give somebody else a chance to weigh in on this. So I thank you for calling in.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
Okay, caller, you're on air.
Yes, I am. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have a comment to make, and then I have a question. First I'd like to say I unfortunately grew up in a very abusive environment as a child and witnessed, you know, a lot of just ugly stuff. And the verbal abuse was just as harmful, I believe, as the physical that my mother suffered. There is a way to find yourself, to find a way through that and to work through it. Secondly, I want to ask, I'm a huge supporter in the gay community, and I wonder if there's a safe place for victims of abuse in those relationships, where they can turn to, more specifically men, if they're being abused by their companions.
Yes, there is. The LGBT community has a large support group. One of the things that GYRL has, we have members of the gay community that's involved in our organization, and we welcome you to try to get some information from us, and you can contact us, and we'd be more than willing to help you get that information.
Call her before you comment again, because I have about 2 minutes left on the show, and I just want to give you some information. It's a 24-hour crisis line in Kansas. It's 913-642-0233, and it's one in Missouri. It's 816-531-0233.
But, Melvin, you have to be sure, because what she's stating is that the LGBT cannot walk into these women-only facilities. So we have to know the laws of that's happening around here. And that's one of the things that we advocate for. A woman that identifies herself as a stud cannot walk into these women facilities.
But see, I just want to, one thing, reason why I give these numbers, Missy, is that they can turn them to the right resource. And the only information that I have is sitting right here, and maybe they can pass that information that you're talking about towards
them. Any information is helpful. Thank you so much.
Thank you
for calling in.
Bye-bye now.
Now, thank you for listening to Jaws of Justice. I have been your host, Melvin Merritt. You have been tuned in to 90.1 FM. I want to thank my guests. Thank you for coming out.
Thank you for having us.
It's the 420 Drug War News.
Well, day one officially, I guess, of the Students for Sensible Drug Policy Conference. I'm here with Mr. Michael Krawitz, and he's had the experience of attending the UN conventions on drugs, and he has some unique experience and observations I think he could share with us about the entanglement, if you will, of the treaties on drugs and the UN and the U.S. obligation and such. Michael, can we break through all this madness?
Well, absolutely. The United Nations treaties are not, you know, a self-executing law like some of the treaties that we see sending blue hats to various places. There are no blue hats that are going to come and enforce the international drug control treaties. The drug control treaties are kind of a gentleman's agreement amongst nations. And as such, when the nations decide to change, as there certainly is a little bit of a groundswell of support for change now, coming from South America and elsewhere, I think it's very likely that change is going to happen at the UN. The flip side of that, I guess, is that the UN moves so slowly. You're talking about over 180 countries that are signed onto this treaty. Just getting documents in everyone's hands takes, I think, 18 months. So you can't expect change to happen quickly. But I think the big drug summit coming up in 2016, we will certainly see at least some sunlight starting to break through this iron wall of prohibition.
Yeah, as some say, because of that entanglement with the UN Convention on Drugs, we can't necessarily change our laws here. But as you say, the blue hats aren't going to come if we do. They've legalized in Washington and Colorado, and no blue hats so far.
Well, to be clear, treaties are gentlemen's agreements amongst nations, not amongst states in nations. So having a state like Colorado or a state like Washington change the law is not necessarily the United States changing the law. The United States federal government still is quite adamant that they have remained true to keeping marijuana illegal at the federal law. And that's essentially our treaty obligation. Now, someone like Uruguay, where they've actually changed the law at the national level, that's where they're going to have to really address the treaty and have to deal with that room of nations when they get over to the drug meeting in Vienna, the Commission on Narcotic Drugs, which is, I think, 53 member nations that get together as a committee to decide on these things. And that's where in 2015, we'll see at least some dialogue because of Uruguay, guaranteed, but 2016 is more than likely where that little bit of dialogue on the margins might actually lead to something on the agenda.
Again, that was Mr. Michael Krawitz speaking at the SSDP conference. Dean Becker, drugtruth.net.
Ready? One, two, three. My problem. What am I gonna do now? Am I gonna make it? Some way, somehow.
We hope you enjoyed today's show and that we leave you with something to think about, something to talk to your neighbors about, and a reason to get involved. As always, the opinions expressed are those of the host and guests of Jaws of Justice Radio. Not KKFI, the Mid-Coast Radio Project Incorporated, its staff or volunteers. You can find our calendar of events and a link to our show episodes and podcasts on Jaws of Justice Radio Facebook page. If you have a show idea or want to help produce the show, email us at jawsofjusticeradio@yahoo.com. And you can always listen to us live on the KKFI website, kkfi.org. We thank our engineer, Jessica Thomas, host of Before the Dawn on Sunday morning from 4 to 7 a.m. Our outro music is Better Man from the Plan for Change CD. Please tune in for the rest of our 9 a.m. weekday lineup with Law and Disorder on Tuesday, Alternative Radio on Wednesday, Tell Somebody with Tom Clammer on Thursday, and Between the Lines at 9 a.m. followed by Bioneers at 9:30 a.m. on Fridays. Up next is Beauticious Blues with Luscious Lynn, and at noon, Arts Magazine with Michael Hogue. Stick around for Jazz and Blues in the afternoon and Eco Radio KC at 6 p.m. Then round out your day with the spicy Latin sounds of Sabor Latino and Fiesta musical.
Gonna make myself a better man.